Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 10, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Nayad vachas chitrapadang harer yasho jagat pavitrang pragrini takar hichit tad vayasam tirtham ushanti manasa nayatrahang sa niramantu shikshaya ha. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage. Yes, those words which do not describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead are just like a tirtha, a place of pilgrimage for crows. It's a little bit of humor on the part of Narad Muni. Yes, just like a holy place for crows. It's oxymoronic, means mixing terms which they don't mix. Tirtha means, what's the basic meaning of the word tirtha? Does anyone know? Ford. It means a ford, which means a crossing place at a river. So it's tirtha means it, that's the original or the derivative meaning, is that one can cross from this world to the next. But crows, where are they going? They have a hellish existence. Where are they going to go? They're not going to go to the spiritual world. The crows, they'll like the drain where there's all dirty things in it. They won't like to go to a nice clean river. There's this story there in the Mahabharata of the ducks. They saw the swans flying. They said, "Where are you going to, Manasa Sarovar?" So, what's that like? You know, it's very beautiful and many lotuses are there. Said, "So we'd like to go also, but are there nice snails and slugs for us to eat?" "No." "Oh, then we're not going. What a terrible place. We don't want to go there." So birds of a feather flock together. Srila Prabhupada also told that story of the Christian preacher who's preaching to the miners, and about, you have to be careful, you have to believe in Jesus, otherwise you go to hell. And they say, "What's hell?" "It's a place that's very dark and cold, and you never see any light." And said, "Well, sounds nice. We spend all day in a mine, it's just like that." So, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Purport. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather because of their different mental attitudes. Just see, even among the birds, there's completely different types. The swan, usually pronounced in Indian English swan, but it's actually pronounced in English swan, even though it's spelt as if it might be pronounced swan. is very graceful, dignified looking bird. When he moves on the water, it looks very dignified, aristocratic. Swans, they usually, you see them in two, husband and wife. Yeah, they'll just go in groups of two. Crows, they go in larger groups. And they're just the opposite. They'll pick up garbage. Where there's a garbage heap, you'll find the crows. One memory of... I used to think of this verse in Calcutta in the winter. All the devotees would have colds. And they would spit this thick, green gob, phlegm. And crows would come, wah, wah, and put their head at the side so they can lick it up. They're also blessed by Yamaraj. He saved Yamaraj from Ravana. So they got a benediction. What is that benediction? I can't remember what it is. The different creatures, they got benedicted. So, the fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and woman and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. Refused here, I suppose that means that the swan-like people, they refuse to have anything to do with it. And remnants means what? It's describing what other people have done. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements, yet with all that they do not glorify the Lord. So there is a lot of literature which is by the grace of Dushta Saraswati, the materialist, the manifestation of Saraswati in the material world. It's very pleasing and charming, but it's all useless. It pleases people who take pleasure in topics other than Krishna consciousness. So we find certain poets are very much praised, Kalidas especially, among all of the poets, the Sanskrit poets, is praised. In Bengali, Rabindranath Tagore, he's supposed to be wonderful. And actually, I've heard his poetry recited, and it sounds very pleasing, but, well, he did write about Krishna also, but it wasn't his prime subject matter. With all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Nice description. Very nice jewels. Nicely, but then you see a body decorated. Oh, someone sitting there with all the nice jewels. You go out to them and say, it's a dead body. So again, it's something which is shocking by the contrast, that we see jewels and decorations, and looks very nice there. All over India, you don't see in most countries, but definitely not in the West, there are many advertisements for jewelry. And there'll be pictures of beautiful women wearing jewelry, and it's supposed to be, that's the idea, that it beautifies. But how do you beautify a dead body? It's by nature revolting. So the whole idea of putting jewelry on a dead body is it's absurd and shocking, and we can't understand why anyone would want to do that. So in the same way, why anyone would want to exhibit their literary art for glorifying dead topics, topics not related with Krishna. That is the metaphor being given here. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada's being infused with the words of Shuddha Saraswati to express in this English language the position of people who do not take pleasure in topics of Krishna. They're spiritually dead. They may be very active and bright and famous and prominent, but spiritually dead. The whole world is Achaitanya Medang Vishvam. It's unconscious world, because they don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they are as if unconscious. These literatures in the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being. And thus, the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are also called manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense gratification or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhara, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. All nice terms. Spiritually dead, decoration of dead body, dolls of the material energy, pleasure of the prostitute hunters. It's building on Narada's analogy. It's swan-like men and crow-like men. So let's roll out the insulting analogies. But it's not really insulting, it's true. To call a thief is not insulting, although the thief will feel insulted. He's caught stealing, and he's called, "You're calling me a thief." Becomes upset. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahansas, who have grasped the essence of human activities. Bring that cloth which I use for Pagri. Nayadvachaschitrapadang harer yasho jagat pavitrang pragunita karhichit tad vaya sangtir tam shanti manasa nayatra hangsa niramantyushikshayaha. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Nayad vachas chitra padang harayasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvaya samtirtamushanti manasa nayatra hangza aniramantyu shikshayaha. Hot sun here and cold wind coming from here. North wind blowing all the way from the Himalayas to get that coldness, must be, huh? One related topic which just came to my mind is not to make Srila Prabhupada's temples and projects into places of pilgrimage for crows, literally. Don't make a garbage heap out of everything. Throwing garbage here and there. Keep everything neat and clean. That's sattvic. As you get older, you can relate more and more life experiences to demonstrate various things. I remember once I was in Haridwar, and I just saw some temple, and often when I see a temple, I like to go inside and see what's there. It's a nice Rama Mandir, as far as I remember. And inside, everything was so nicely maintained and clean. And it was just such a pleasure to be there, seeing as the bazaars. Generally in India, especially North India, there's garbage everywhere and broken roads. And so the temple was so nicely kept. And so it was very, very pleasing just to be there. So the opposite will be there also if things are not neat and clean. So the subject here of this verse is, on this verse, the wind has blown over the page to the next verse, which is a verse that Srila Prabhupada often quoted. Tadvag visargo janatag haviplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhadhavatyapi namanyanantasya yashon kitani yach trinvanti gayanti gurnanti sadhava. Seems to be in the singular form, although it's... So on the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So we are meant to become like swans, not like crows. The very pleasing birds, swans, peacocks, parrots, these are very pleasing birds, and crows especially are very just at the opposite end of the scale. What else? Vultures, owls. Owl is the carrier of Lakshmi also, right? There's one every night I can hear over just outside here. You can hear this, that sound. You don't see owls much. You hear them more. So just outside here, there seems to be one. So, yeah. Especially crows and vultures. Yeah. And eagles, they're considered somewhat noble, even though they're also, they eat flesh. Well, peacocks do too. Peacocks, they're not vegetarians. They'll eat anything. Well, they don't eat carrion like vultures do. But they'll eat insects and all kinds of things. But anyway, they look fabulous. Don't they? The peacock is... In India, there's no bird like the peacock. In some places, in Australia, Papua New Guinea, I haven't been there, but they have birds of paradise, they're called. They're so beautifully colored. In Australia, there's so many amazing, beautiful birds. So that's Krishna's creation. Devotees, they want to be like the swans. That term is used, hamsa. That word means swan, but it also means an advanced spiritualist. And the reason for that is particularly not because so much because of the swan being very graceful and beautiful and seems to be somewhat aristocratic, but because of the swan's ability to separate milk from a mixture of milk and water, to take out the cream. Has some facility to do that, so we're told. I don't know if that's corroborated by modern science, but we don't care that much anyway. They haven't seen all the swans. I was reading this book about the India they saw, and even in fairly recently times, there's a description of the Sharabha, which is described in Shastra, some terrible creature. And some foreign visitor describes that creature. It's really terrible. It's if you see one, you're dead practically. They're really ferocious creatures. So they were there even until recently. It's mentioned sometimes in Bhagavatam, like in the Gajendra story, describes all the flora and fauna of the forest at the base of the Trikut. Mountain, so in several places in Bhagavatam describes. So devotees, any advanced spiritualist is called hamsa. He can separate the essence from the non-essential. That is, there's so many things in the world, but what is the essence? The essence is to understand the Atma, the spiritual essence, that everything material is, it comes and goes, it has no particular significance, but spiritual life, that is the essence. And then the true Paramahamsa is a pure devotee of Krishna, because he knows that not only is there Atma, but there is Bhagavan, who we are to surrender to. So, devotees are supposed to be like hamsa, paramahamsa. They are not concerned with this world. Also like the swans, they're somewhat withdrawn. They keep just to themselves. There'll be generally two swans, and they're aloof. So devotees should be like that and not concerned with mundane topics. There are so many topics that we can absorb the mind in, but we have to absorb our mind in thought of Krishna. Now, elsewhere in this section, in this very chapter of Bhagavatam, there is another verse which is also quite often quoted. Idang hipung sas tapasa shrutasya va svishtasya suktasya cha buddhidatayo ho. Ah, then kavibhya nirupita yadutama shloka gurarnama. Number 22, I've left a few, missed a few words. Left a few words out there. Avichutarta kavibhya nirupita nirupito yadutama shloka gunarnavananam. That the perfection of, let's see, tapasya, austerity, studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, culture of knowledge, giving in charity, is to glorify Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about various mundane pursuits or pursuits that are generally pursued in a mundane way. Art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, politics, etc. And Srila Prabhupada says that all of these can be, all of these should be directed toward Krishna, toward glorifying Krishna. So there is some scope for indulgence in these topics. We want to hear about Krishna, that charming boy who stands on the bank of the Yamuna playing his flute, calling the gopis who come running to him, and then he says, "What are you doing here? You should be good women, good wives. Go back home." They said, "Forget it. We're staying here." So we're supposed to cultivate attachment for Krishna. But there are so many other topics. Art, I mean, that one word, art, there's a huge, panoply of all different subjects. Then art, science, again, science, phew, huge area of topic. Philosophy, you can spend your whole life on one branch of any of these and you'll never come to the end of it. It's such big topics. But these can be directed toward Krishna. By studying science, one should come to realize that there is a great scientist. By studying art, we should know that where does that artistic inspiration come from? It comes from Krishna. And art is meant for glorifying Krishna. Art, music, all meant for glorifying Krishna. Poetry becomes song, song becomes dance. So it's more and more expression. And in the drama you have everything. You have poetry, dance, and all expressions and interaction. Everything is shown in drama. So that's the, in Indian culture, that's considered the ultimate artistic expression. Everything, there's interaction with the audience, and that's supposed to produce rasa in the rasika audience. Those who can appreciate art, they will, those who know the science of dramaturgy, by seeing the drama they will experience rasa. So all this can be used in the service of Krishna. And in preaching Krishna consciousness, we also have to be informed, to some extent, of different topics. Because if we go among the people in general and start talking to them about, there's a beautiful blue boy standing on the bank of the Yamuna in threefold bending form. He wears a yellow dhoti. At least Prabhupada said he wore a yellow dhoti. Hridayananda Maharaj doesn't believe it, but Prabhupada said that. And there's cows and cowherd boys, and Yeah, Mona, the wind is blowing gently, and there's the flute sound charms everyone. People, they're too much like crows to even begin to appreciate that. And especially here in India, if we start talking about science, I become very interested. Crows, science, how wonderful! See, there was some cells, and then they interacted, and then they became some fish, and then they climbed on the land, they became lizards, and they became monkeys, and then they became my grandfather. And at the end of all this, here we are, studying science. It's the culmination of the great evolutionary journey, which is all by chance, so that we can study science. Science. So if you speak to them about science, they become interested, because they're mudhas, crows, spiritually dead, dolls in the hands of material energy, prostitute hunters, and all these words which we just learned in this purport. All these terms. So you get their attention. And then you're supposed to bring them up from this level to... you got their attention, and then you're supposed to speak to them or bring them to Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, the science of Krishna, science of understanding Krishna. Oh, talking about beautiful birds. There's one just alighted on a tree there. Azure and with azure and dark blue with some chest which is orange color. What's that called?
Milk bird.
What does it do? It drinks the milk? Why is it called a milk bird? In Telugu it's called that. Palagula. Palagoa. No, I can't pronounce. Pal, I know, means milk. It's all right. I'm not going to learn Telugu this life, this lifetime round. I won't bother trying. You won't see in Hyderabad, I think. Only in the country. I didn't see here before. You know, other birds are very beautiful. And even in miserable England, where the sun hardly ever comes out, there's these beautiful birds. Is the kingfisher. They look very beautiful. This is a kingfisher also? I don't think so, no.
Not kingfisher, but you can see kingfisher here also.
Yeah, you'll see because of the lake. But that bright blue is common. Generally the kingfishers have that. But what's their business is, and they go up and then they do a dive bombing to catch a fish. So they look beautiful, but that fish eating is not so wonderful. Anyway, that's what they have to do, impelled by the modes of nature. So, yeah, we could become attracted by the birds, ornithology, studying birds. There are many interesting things in the world. Keshava, tua jagat vichitra, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Oh, Keshava, your world... Well, he's referring to this material world in this case. It's vichitra, which in this sense means something amazing, something wonderful. So there are so many wonderful things. And in science, there are so many interesting things. There are many boring things also, but many interesting things. And mathematics is... can be fascinating. And study of politics, and sociology, psychology, and all interrelated disciplines. Now we may have to speak something about all these things just to get people's attention and lead them to Krishna. And that is required of preachers. People are on the order of Srila Prabhupada going out into this world and especially if we have to preach to what Srila Prabhupada called the intelligent class of people, then to have some knowledge of this world is required. And intelligent people, here we're using it in the conventional sense, this term, they are impressed with people who are knowledgeable. And they're not impressed by people who are not knowledgeable. So if they perceive that you're not on a very high intellectual level, you can't follow that, they'll make some argument for whatever their position is, and you can't discuss with them on that level, then they're not interested to talk to you at all. So how are you going to preach to them and try to convince them of something better? So it's not absolutely required, but generally there are devotees who are gifted by Krishna to preach even without any background of such knowledge. But to preach to people who are more atheistic, and to make presentations for the people in general in the form of books or slideshows or whatever, some knowledge of this world is required, and it can be very interesting. What's going on in the world? It can be very interesting. People, they like to discuss these things, crow topics, who will win the elections and what will happen in Kashmir, where all this kind of thing is. What is the situation? And we also need to know, to some extent, for living in this world, some information about it. But at the same time, we always have to remember that our real business is to become mad after Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Jodi ama prati sneha thake shabaka, tabe Krishna beti rikto nagaibaya. Ki bhujane, ki shayane, ki ba jagarane, ahar nishat chinta Krishna balahabadane." He would tell people who came to his house, this was in his Navadip Leela, shortly before he accepted sannyas, he said that if you have affection for me, which people coming to him definitely had affection for him, so he's speaking in this rhetorical style, if you have affection for me, then don't talk of anything but Krishna. Whether you are eating or sleeping or staying up at night or whatever you're doing, day and night, think of Krishna and speak of Krishna. So that's the aim, to be a swan, only talking about Krishna, only thinking about Krishna. But then there's the whole world, and we may be interested in that also, because topics are interesting, many interesting topics about many different things. So preachers have to, this example again, to go fishing, but don't touch the water, don't fall in. We go to catch the fish, but not that the fish takes the bait and then pulls us in the water. The fisherman's supposed to pull the fish out of the water. So the idea is that we catch people and pull them toward Krishna. But we should be very careful that we don't get into their association and they pull us toward Maya. Or that we get into some topic and we get pulled into Maya. That danger is there. Then we have to see what is our strength. Are we strong enough to preach and to change people? Then we that change people, then we ourselves have to change. We have to become strong by Krishna consciousness, by practicing Krishna consciousness very seriously. It is possible at some level in this country, especially, to bring people to Krishna consciousness even without oneself being particularly Krishna conscious. It is possible because people are pious enough in this country that if we speak of Krishna consciousness, even if we ourselves are not very seriously endeavoring to become purified, we can, even without a good level of sadhana or knowledge by some personal charm or whatever, we can bring people in. Of course, we shouldn't underestimate also that to get people to give up meat eating and all these things is not such an easy thing. But we should be careful, even in the process of preaching Krishna consciousness, that we don't get pulled into material consciousness. And we have to see who we're going to preach to. One sannyasi of Srila Prabhupada, he was warned by Srila Prabhupada. He asked Srila Prabhupada, going to preach to the Mayavadi sannyasis, and then Prabhupada told him, don't go. You can't argue with them. You're not fit for that. So he would appear foolish in that regard. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport that the preachers of Krishna consciousness should be learned, otherwise they will look foolish and they'll be embarrassed and insulted when they go to preach. So we should know our limitations also. When we're going to fish, and then don't go fishing for some, catch some crocodile and the crocodile catches you. And he went fishing. He's been out a long time. He didn't come back. He didn't come back means you can find him inside the crocodile. Got caught by the crocodile. So we should also know what are the dangers in preaching. It might even seem that we're bringing people to Krishna consciousness, but if they might chant Hare Krishna, but if they don't give up their atheistic Mayavad way of thinking, and then by associating with them, we become implicated with them, not that they become purified by our association. We can also, if in the name of preaching we start to talk like Mayavadis, because we think, well, we're mixing with them because we're giving them our association, or talk like mundane people, then we become mundane according to the Hung Sanyai. If you see a bird, it looks like a duck, it waddles like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. You can call it by another name, but it's a duck. So at least in Bengali, the word hans is used for duck. So be careful. We preachers must be very careful. We have to discuss many things, but to keep our consciousness focused on Krishna, that is the real essence of everything. Otherwise, at the end of life, we can say we practice Krishna consciousness all our life, but it was a case of operation successful, but patient died. If we're not thinking of Krishna at the time of death, then of course there's no loss in Krishna consciousness. Neha pikramo nashasi pratyavaya navidyate swabhavapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. But there's great gain to be had, that after so many lifetimes being crows, we have the opportunity to become a swan. So we should be careful not to be attracted to the crow topics. We have to be attracted to Krishna. So while for the sake of preaching and purification, we have to see how to preach to people, even shastric topics, This, when Narada is speaking about this crow-like topics, he's speaking to Vyasadeva. He's referring to Shastric topics, which don't directly and clearly glorify Krishna. Now, all the Shastras meant for glorifying Krishna. Vedaisha sarveraham eva vedyaha. But some is indirect and some is very much indirect, that it's difficult to find, unless an acharya points you to that, you won't find Krishna at all. Tattvamasi. If you see the original context of this famous aphorism, then it sure seems to be impersonal. So that requires an acharya to point that out to us. Otherwise, the tendency will be for people to take, that all-pervading essence of everything, that is you. That's being described. Who's that speaking? This Shweta Ketu is being, Tattvamasi Shweta Ketu, his father, whose name is it Udalak? I can't remember. Shweta Ketu, the boy, proud boy. He came back from study thinking he knew everything. And his father said, well, do you know that which pervades everything? Do you know that which that is the source of all sound? And no, Tattvam. And again, he says, Tattvam. You are that. So, Narada he tells Vyasadeva that you've made all this, but the real thing, which you're supposed to give Krishna, is you've given everything to lead people to Krishna, but what about Krishna? Well, he's there, it says they're here in this Shastra and there in that Shastra, but nothing very clearly, explicitly, absolutely unambiguously establishing Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So, in the Bhagavatam, then Vyasadeva, he didn't waste any time. He's right from the beginning. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, this is it, folks. Now, no more beating around the bush, no more indirectness. Janmadyasya yaton vyaditratas satyang parang dhimahi. Dharma kaitava projetatra. He's really into it. Okay, this is Krishna. We're going to speak about Krishna. But there are people who study Bhagavatam, they don't find Krishna also. Maybe they're impersonalists. Every verse of Bhagavatam is full of the nectar of Krishna, but they don't find Krishna at all. The crows, they'll never find. They'll never. The crows, they don't become swans. They may be by the grace of a pure devotee, but their taste is different. So, the point is being made here that we have to remember Krishna. That's all. We may see Krishna in various ways. From Bhagavatam, we can learn of him. Janmadyasya yataha. He is the source of everything, the shelter of everything that exists, the destroyer of everything. He is the ultimate. We learn about Krishna in this way. So, that is Krishna. We also hear of Krishna, the flute player, the one with, there are so many descriptions of his beautiful curling hair with the Kostuba jewel on his chest. Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna outside Vrindavan. He has his, then his Sudarshan Chakra comes into play, and he has his bow, Shanga, and there are so many descriptions of Krishna. So, at the end of the day, to use that incredibly worn-out phrase, we have to remember Krishna. That's it. So, this project also, everything is meant for remembering Krishna. Place where we can come away from all the harassment and the stress and the diversions of the city. And remember Krishna. Cultivate Krishna consciousness. That's actually quite a challenge, because in the city there's always something to do. Here, of course, there's always things to do here also, but when there are enough people, there may be a lot of the time there isn't that much to do. It happens in rural life. There are times of the year when there's not much to do, because it's neither the time for plowing or sowing or harvesting, and there's not much to do. Well, that's why Srila Prabhupada said, come and live here. So you have time for cultivating Krishna consciousness. But then if we have to cultivate that habit. If we don't, then idle mind will be a devil's workshop. So these projects, they can become just like Vaikuntha by always glorifying Krishna, or they can become just like hell, because we don't glorify Krishna, and then we're just on the platform of our dissatisfied mind, and we vent our dissatisfaction on others, and then they vent their dissatisfaction on us, and then it becomes a place of pilgrimage for crows. So, topics of Krishna. Here we may not have to discuss so much about science and social topics and this and that. We can just ask people to come, join us, take prasad, kirtan, all these things. But we have to develop a taste for that also, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Hare Krishna. What do you think, Kunja Bihari? Any questions? Comments? Realizations? Anyone? All right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.